Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa Gateway Airport is upgrading in 2025. Here's what's coming for flyers. Mesa Gateway Airport is continuing work to improve its passenger experience. Projects in the works for the rest of 2025 and beyond include runway reconstruction, taxiway improvements, and baggage system upgrades that are capable of screening about triple the luggage that the existing system can handle. The upgrades will improve Mesa Gateway's operating efficiency and make getting through security and on and off planes a smoother experience for passengers. Mesa Gateway's improvements come as more travelers are using the airport, and Allegiant Air added more flights. Staff reported increases in passenger traffic in 10 of the last 12 months, including a record 261,536 passengers in March 2025. The airport's 10,400-foot inside runway has been undergoing a $45 million reconstruction project since October 2024. Work finished in May on the southern half of the runway, including removing and crushing demolished concrete and reusing it as the base course under the new concrete. The runway will operate through the fall when work on the project's second phase, reconstruction of the northern half, is scheduled to begin. The airport's executive director, J. Brian O'Neill, said during a recent Mesa Gateway Airport Authority meeting that the fall timetable is pending a continuation of federal funding. The Federal Aviation Administration awarded Mesa Gateway more than $5 million for runway reconstruction through its Airport Infrastructure Grants Program, funded through the Federal Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, according to the FAA. Mesa Gateway hopes to receive the grant funding by late October or early November, airport spokesman Ryan Smith told the Arizona Republic. If the timetable holds, the runway project will be completed by 2026. Mesa Gateway's proposed airport capital improvement plan includes the realignment of an existing taxiway and the design and construction of a parallel taxiway west of the center runway. Design and construction of the taxiway Gulf realignment are planned for the 2025-26 fiscal year, plan documents showed. Airport staff expect the work will cost $16.5 million and is funded in part by a $15 million FAA grant. Construction of the taxiway near the center runway will take longer to develop, proposed for 2027-28, documents showed. Airport staff budgeted $27.5 million for the work. Taxiways are paths for airplanes to get to and from runways. Building and maintaining taxiways contributes to how efficiently planes can move around, playing a role in how much time passengers spend waiting for a plane to arrive at the gate and take off. Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport is also building a new taxiway, a project scheduled to finish in 2027. Mesa Gateway will begin installing a new baggage screening system this fall, O'Neill said in his June executive director's report. The new system will consist of two new Leidos Examiner 3DX ES machines, which use 3D X-ray imaging technology to screen bags for explosives. They are capable of screening 800 to 1,000 bags per hour, far more than the existing system's two older machines that screen 200 to 300 bags per hour. The work is needed to ensure flights take off on time, O'Neill said in a recent report. During busy travel days, the current system has trouble keeping up with the continuous flow of checked baggage, he said. Work on the baggage system upgrades is scheduled to begin in October. This includes constructing a 10,000-square-foot building expansion to house the new machines, which are much larger than the older equipment currently used, Smith said. That story was Mesa Gateway Airport is upgrading in 2025. Here's what's coming for flyers. The next story, Apache Junction Council to consider $20,000 GPEC contract renewal. Paying $20,392 to the Greater Phoenix Economic Council for economic development services in fiscal year 2025-26 is to be considered at the July 15 Apache Junction City Council meeting. The council meets at 7 p.m. Tuesday, July 15 in the council chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The city of Apache Junction and 21 other communities contract with GPEC on an annual basis to receive regional economic development services. The city has contracted with GPEC for 17 years, Economic Development Director Ryan Kaup told the council during a July 1st meeting. Over the last year, we have submitted on 6 GPEC-originated projects that have given us the opportunity, if we were to land one of these, up to 4,400 jobs, 1.5 million square feet of industrial space, and $11 billion in capital investment, he said. Developers have been looking at a 640-acre site in South Apache Junction, he told the council. The main site that we are getting in front of some of these bigger projects is that State Route 24 and Ironwood. That's really our top economic development site that we'll continue to get looks at in the months and years to come, Kopp said. This really is a top economic development site, and the leads that GPEC is providing for us will continue to get considered more and more as development moves out this way. Key partnership benefits with GPEC include prospect generation, marketing, and research analysis, Kaup wrote in a memo to the council. The annual contract amount for GPEC is based on the State of Arizona Office of Economic Opportunities 2024 population estimate for Apache Junction, 41,643, multiplied by a fixed amount per capita, $0.4897. The city's contracted rate for fiscal year 2025-26 is thus $20,392, he said. That story was Apache Junction Council to consider $20,000 GPEC contract renewal. The next story, this big Metro Phoenix city was just named a top place to live in the U.S. Arizona's capital city, Phoenix, is the fifth largest in the United States. With a population of over 1 million and a cluster of tall buildings downtown, it's your standard big city. Phoenix is the biggest city in the state, but is it the best place to live? A new ranking from U.S. News & World Report determined what 15 big cities would be the best to live in the country. It was actually Arizona's third largest city that made the list, not Phoenix. The city, located in the East Valley, didn't just make the cut. It landed in the top 10. Here's what to know. Just east of Phoenix, Mesa, which is Spanish for table, sits on a flat-topped plateau overlooking the valley. The city ranked number 9 out of 15 on the list. According to U.S. News & World Report, Mesa ranked within the top 20% of all cities for net migration, and the job market is healthier than similarly sized areas. Median home prices are approximately $50,000 more than the national average, but that hasn't stopped people from moving there. The Superstition Mountains provide Mesa with a rugged, picturesque backdrop. According to U.S. News & World Report, Mesa is surrounded by outdoor recreation, from an abundance of trails, camping, golf, hot air ballooning, and lakes for fishing and boating. Population, 530,240. Average commute, 22 minutes. Median home price, $427,075. Median monthly rent, $1,389. Median household income, $80,935. Top 15 best big cities to live in the U.S. Oklahoma City, El Paso, Texas, Austin, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee, San Antonio, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Mesa, Houston, Columbus, Ohio, Seattle, Dallas, Indianapolis, San Diego. U.S. News & World Report analyzed 859 cities across the country for its annual 250 Best Places to Live list. The publication based its rankings on data from various categories, including affordability, quality of life, job market strength, overall desirability, crime rates, commute times to healthcare access, education quality, net migration, and cost of living. A big city, according to U.S. News and World Report, boasts a population of 499,000 or more. The news organization took 15 big cities from the main list and ranked them separately. That story was this big metro Phoenix city was just named a top place to live in the U.S. The next story, treated wastewater to be used for irrigation in South Apache Junction. Reclaimed water will soon be flowing from the sewer district to the water district and then sent by pipe to irrigate plants and trees in South Apache Junction. The Apache Junction Sewer District Board on June 24 voted 4-0 to approve an intergovernmental agreement with the Apache Junction Water Utilities Community Facilities District for the sale of reclaimed water and the lease of fiber optic cables. Vice Chair Jim Reynolds was absent. The water utility will initially pay 85 cents per 1,000 gallons of reclaimed water, water that has been treated or processed by the wastewater treatment plant. Beginning on January 1, 2027, it will increase to the prevailing rates, fees, and charges for reclaimed water. On July 1, 2027 and July 1 each year going forward, it will increase to the prevailing rates, fees, and charges, it states in the agreement. It's been some time we've been working on it, going back and forth with our district and their attorney, who is also the city attorney. We've come to a good point on the IGA, Sewer District Manager Darren Anglin told the board before the vote. There's a lot in here, not only for the sale of reclaimed water, the non-potable, but also for the lease of the land where the non-potable station is located, and then as you saw in the title of the lease, the fiber optic cable that we are using for our internet. A few things wrapped up in here. The sewer district entered into a development and sewer service agreement on September 24, 2021 for Superstition Vistas with D.R. Horton, Inc. for the development of approximately 2,800 gross acres of real property. The sewer district agreed to provide the Apache Junction Water Utilities Community Facilities District with Class A effluent and non-potable water to be resold for the construction and landscape irrigation use on the property, according to the approved agreement. The Water Utility District entered into a development and water service agreement on October 13, 2021 for Superstition Vistas with D.R. Horton, Inc. for the development of the property. The Water Utility agreed to accept reclaimed water from the sewer district to be resold for construction and landscape irrigation use on the property, it states. For the fiber optics, the water utility owns fiber optic cables that extend from its property at 4850 South Ironwood Drive to facilities on sewer district property at 5661 South Ironwood Drive. The sewer district desires the exclusive use of at least four strands of the cables to provide internet access to its facilities, and the water utility agrees to lease that fiber to the sewer district, it states. Superstition Mountains Community Facilities District No. 1, now known as the Apache Junction Sewer District, was formed by Apache Junction City Council in July 1992. At its startup in January 1996, the district's collection system served 1,000 customers. Today, its collection system serves more than 7,000 customers and includes more than 115 miles of pipe and a lift station to convey wastewater to its water reclamation facility. The district's service area has grown from 17 square miles to more than 50 square miles, according to its website. Board members to the sewer district are appointed by the Apache Junction City Council. And that story was treated wastewater to be used for irrigation in South Apache Junction. You're listening to East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, fugitive who fired at U.S. Marshals agents is fatally shot in Mesa. A man identified by authorities as a known gang member was shot and killed in Mesa after opening fire on federal agents who were attempting to arrest him on multiple fugitive warrants. The U.S. Marshals Service confirmed that law enforcement officers were involved in the shooting on June 27 near 32nd Street and Baseline Road. The East Valley Critical Incident Response Team was investigating the incident. The U.S. Marshals Service identified the man as Edgar Cardenas on June 29. According to the U.S. Marshals Service, Cardenas was wanted on multiple warrants, including aggravated assault involving domestic violence, disorderly conduct with a weapon, misconduct involving weapons, threats, and assault, when marshals and Mesa police officers attempted to take him into custody. Authorities had Cardenas under surveillance, and when he drove from a residence, they attempted to stop him, the marshals said. That's when he fired multiple rounds at authorities, who shot him dead. No police were injured in the incident, and the agency didn't say whether anyone else was involved. Authorities were searching for Cardenas as part of a 22-agency task force focused on apprehending fugitives across Arizona. According to the U.S. Marshals Service, the task force has captured more than 2,100 individuals over the past year, prioritizing the most violent offenders and sexual predators. That story was fugitive who fired at U.S. Marshals agents is fatally shot in Mesa. The next story, Child Crisis Arizona awards pool fence to Apache Junction family. Drowning remains the leading cause of death of children 1 to 4 years old and remains among the top 5 causes of death for children ages 5 to 9 years old. In response to this urgent need, Child Crisis Arizona has partnered with SRP, State Farm, the Independent Pool and Spa Service Association, Inc., and local firefighter charities to pioneer the Pool Fence Safety Program. Now in its fourth year, its mission is to equip families with the vital protection they deserve, free of charge. While no single measure can single-handedly avert such tragedies, the program strives to create multiple layers of defense surrounding children with safety, according to a release. This year, the program has awarded 7 pool fences to families across Chandler, Santan Valley, Apache Junction, and Mesa, including Alfred Rosales and family in Apache Junction, Candace Dial and family in Mesa, Erica Cully and family in Chandler, Anita Alfaro and family in Chandler, Anna Maria Wheatley and family in Santan Valley, and 2 others who have foster child situations where names were not released for safety reasons. In the span of 2 weeks, fences are finding their place in these families' backyards, providing safety and peace of mind. These households include families where the grandparents serve as primary caregivers, single-parent households, and households where children are in the adoption process, the release states. According to Child Crisis Arizona's Pool Fence Safety Program for all caregivers, here are critical ways to keep kids safe around the pool this summer. A pool fence should surround all sides of the pool and be at least 5 feet tall with self-closing and self-latching gates. Make sure that all furniture is on the inside of the pool fence so that children cannot use it to climb over the fence. Ensure that the pool gate is always properly latched and closed and that it is not broken. Children should not be able to go under, over, or around the pool fence. Never allow a child to sit on or next to a drain. Teach your child not to swim or play near the drain. Swim with a partner. Keep young children and weak swimmers within arm's reach of an adult. Make sure older children swim with a partner every time. Children can be small enough to fit through a doggy door when parents are not aware. Lock doggy doors so that it creates a barrier between the child and water. In addition to hosting the Pool Fence Safety Program, Child Crisis Arizona is home to Safe Kids Maricopa County, a local chapter of a worldwide organization aiming to prevent childhood injury and death. Through this program, Child Crisis Arizona offers dozens of no-cost online and in-person safety courses, including their virtual water safety workshop, available online at childcrisisaz.org. That story was Child Crisis Arizona awards pool fence to Apache Junction family. The next story, Moana, July dive-in movie in Apache Junction. Moana is the July dive-in movie at Superstition Shadows Aquatic Center in Apache Junction. It will be shown 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday, July 12 at the Aquatic Center, 1091 West Southern Avenue in Apache Junction. Bring a beach blanket or lawn chair. Entry fee is $3 per person at the gate. No pre-registration. All children aged 7 and under must be within arm's reach of an adult at all times. All flotation devices must be Coast Guard approved, and no glass will be allowed, it states at https://www.facebook.com/ajparksandrec/events. Movies are presented by SRP. In the event of bad weather prior to movie time, the program could possibly be moved to the Apache Junction Multigenerational Center. For information on this program or other programs and services, call the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department at 480-983-2181 or go to https://www.apachejunctionaz.gov/111/parks-recreation. That story was Moana, July dive-in movie in Apache Junction. The next story, WW Clyde opens 38,000 square foot regional HQ in Apache Junction. WW Clyde, a civil contractor specializing in highways, pipelines, mines, and solar farms, recently held a ribbon-cutting ceremony to mark the opening of its new Southwest Division headquarters in Apache Junction. At the event, June 27, attendees had an opportunity to meet the WW Clyde team and tour the new state-of-the-art facility at 1353 South Vista Road. Spanning a total of 38,000 square feet, the newly completed building encompasses 22,000 square feet of office space for administrative functions and 16,000 square feet of shop space, according to a release. I am pleased to see their commitment to reinvesting in our city, Mayor Chip Wilson said in the release. Momentum is growing in our business community, and we look forward to the job opportunities it creates for our city. WW Clyde originally broke ground on the $22 million investment in April 2024. The Southwest Division has 50 employees at this regional headquarters and plans to increase to 75 employees over the next few years. WW Clyde has more than 500 total employees operating throughout the greater Phoenix region that report to this facility. This new location allows us to better serve more customers and hire talented people in the greater Phoenix Valley, Dustin Olson, president of WW Clyde, said in the release. We are grateful to Apache Junction for its terrific support and look forward to strengthening our relationships here as we build better communities. WW Clyde has been part of the Apache Junction community since 2020 when it acquired Blount Contracting. A recent and recognizable project WW Clyde has worked on in Apache Junction is Flatiron Park. Local residents can explore job opportunities at WW Clyde's new Apache Junction facility at https://www.clyde.net/careers/. That story was WW Clyde opens 38,000 square foot regional HQ in Apache Junction. The next story, three Mesa Masonic Lodges donate $1,000 to family of fallen Apache Junction police officer. Three Masonic Lodges rallied together to support a community cause by collecting donations totaling $1,000 for aiding the family of a fallen police officer. Officer Gabrielle Fascio of the Apache Junction Police Department passed away on June 8 from wounds received during a shootout with a suspect in Apache Junction. The three lodges, Oriental No. 20, Apache No. 69, and Camelback No. 75, called for donations, and the Brethren generously gave to the cause, to assist the family of Officer Fascio, a 3-year veteran of the Apache Junction Police Department. The donations were presented July 1 to the AJPD to be given to the family of Officer Fascio. Attending the presentation were, from the AJPD, Chief Michael Poole, Assistant Chief John John, Commander Joseph Penzi, Commander Cindy Ewer, the Worshipful Masters of the Three Lodges, Mark Geyer of Oriental No. 20, Robert King of Apache No. 69, and Norman Peterson of Camelback No. 75, and Brother Paul Switek. In all three lodges, there are members who are or have been members of various police agencies. The call to assist the family of a fallen fellow officer was met with an immediate outpouring. The Masons are a benevolent fraternal organization. They believe in self-improvement, supporting each other, community service, and charitable works. The best-known body of Freemasonry is the Shriners Children's Hospitals. These three lodges meet in East Mesa and hold their regular meetings in the same building at 726 North Center Street in Mesa. That story was three Mesa Masonic lodges donate $1,000 to family of fallen Apache Junction police officer. The next story, three thefts, one robbery reported in Apache Junction to AJPD. The Apache Junction Police Department took the following reports of theft and a robbery of an individual June 3 to 9. Theft reported at 9:18 a.m. June 3 in the 900 block of South Royal Palm Road. Theft reported at 1 p.m. June 5 in the 1000 block of South Mara Drive. Robbery of an individual reported at 4:20 a.m. June 6 in the 900 block of South Royal Palm Road. Theft reported at 12:37 p.m. June 9 in the 2300 block of South Tomahawk Road. Incidents are taken from communitycrimemap.com. That story was three thefts, one robbery reported in Apache Junction to AJPD. This has been East Valley News covering Mason Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Remember that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can also take SunSounds with you. You can get our streaming and on-demand service on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.